Hey guys, in honor of the Star Trek that's just about to come out, we wanted to do a Star Trek movie. And I know some of you wanted us to do another classic one, like Star Trek 4, but So we decided to do Star Trek 6. Well, tell us on our site which one you want to have us do next. I think we discussed which one to do more than we discussed most of these movies. We chose number 6, and we've already done Star Trek number 2, The Wrath of Khan. So please, let us know which one you want us to tackle next. There'll never be an end to these Star Trek spinoffs. Also, a little bit of business here. First, I know that generally our anniversary show is the 23rd. However, the 23rd is late in the week for us, so we're going to celebrate it next week. And then finally, unfortunately, I'm sure you know this news by now, but the actor who played Chekhov, Anton Yelchin, died tragically in a car accident, which is actually currently being investigated due to a possible malfunction of his car, which is really tragic. And unfortunately, we recorded this before his death was announced, which is why we really don't address it. However, I hope you can still enjoy this. Thanks, guys. This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned to appreciate Shakespeare. You need to hear it in the original Klingon. We watched Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. At least there were no whales, right? We'll be right back.
the Terminus Doctor Who podcast. Queer. Opinionated. Whovian. Female. The Terminus podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher and many other favorite podcatchers. You can find us online at terminus.libsyn.com or on Twitter at terminuscast or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/terminusdwpodcast or finally on Tumblr at terminusdwpodcast.tumblr.com. Be sure to check us out there and subscribe to keep up with new episodes. Alonzi.
Welcome to I Hope You Defend Your Childhood. This week we watched Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country from 1991. Red's audition tape for that 70s show. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter and Dude Letter Podcasting. And on panel tonight we have...
Hello, this is Daniel.
Madison.
Jeremy.
Matt. So, obviously we're doing this because there's another Star Trek movie coming out that I couldn't be bothered to pay attention to. But they're trailers. The trailers look science fiction-y.
They had the Beastie Boys in them.
Ugh. I actually didn't know that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, it comes out in like, well, we're doing it now because it comes out in 2 weeks.
Did they recycle a plot? What is the...
Don't know.
Who's our bad guy?
It's called Star Trek Beyond, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
Beyond Star Trek.
Klingon, do the Borg finally make that big introduction?
There's still no data.
Does
anyone want to take my place on this panel?
Before we started this, we're like, does anyone know anything about Star Trek to get this going? And I've seen all these movies like a dozen times. I love these movies. But other than that, I didn't watch much of the show. And so already we're showing our ignorance of a major blockbuster coming out.
Yeah, I know.
It's gonna
I had a friend that I watched this with who is not a huge Trek person, but at least knows what's going on. And I was like, so who's the villain in this one? He's like, it's the original series. It's the Romulans, or it's the Klingons. It's like, just guess.
Yeah. Because apparently they killed Kirk's son, yeah. And he can never forgive
So that. He should have been on, but he couldn't be here. So.
Well, so, and I tell you what.
Please don't stop listening to us. We promise we actually care.
Well, we can talk about whether or not we enjoyed the movie, which I enjoyed this movie. Yeah. I thought it was fun.
Spoilers.
And it was short. It's amazing that they used to be able to make movies under 2 hours.
Yeah, an hour and 49 minutes for a start. And it had so much plot to it in an hour and 49 minutes, yeah. Unlike the latest X-Men.
Mm. Haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Mm. Liked it. It just took like 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah, and they love their visual effects. Now, they like the visual effects too, but we should get to the floaty blood later. Jeremy, you want to give us the plot, or...?
Sure. As Nick mentioned before the show, this is kind of like a Cold War parable. So the Klingon moon Praxis, pretty much 70% of it gets blown up due to an accident. And because of that, the Klingon society is going to be gone in 50 years. So basically, the Klingons and the humans have to broker a kind of peace treaty because the Klingons can't live on their home planet anymore. And all of this is going... as well as it could be, until their chancellor is killed, which is blamed on the crew of the Enterprise, and everything goes to hell.
Yep, done.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was the movie, guys. We'll see you next week. I don't know.
I actually liked the plot. I thought
it was an engaging movie.
It was pretty much if you combine the Chernobyl disaster, the August coup, and the fall of the Soviet Union in the one movie.
It works. It's really the... how the Soviet Union fell apart. I mean,
yeah, that giant moon exploding really did bring down the Iron Curtain.
Mr. Gorbachev, blow up this moon.
Tunguska, or whatever it was.
Tunguska, yeah.
Oh, that thing?
Yeah, the meteor incident.
Yeah.
Is that an
or
element?
Aliens.
Or aliens. That's tungsten.
Okay.
That's not an element.
Sorry.
I've been drinking for a while.
I like the idea that, like, you're this close to making a joke, and then you're like, wait, no, really, isn't it?
Wait.
It was a bafflement.
The lights are on. No one's home. I'm sorry.
This was the last movie this director directed, too, for, like... And he's not dead, so he might come back, but... Except for a TV movie called Vendetta. I thought this was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I was actually about... Okay, so this is the last movie of the original cast as well. It's a good way to go out. It's kind of a symbolic because it's such a Cold War-based show.
I did like in the beginning when they were all called in and they were like, are they calling us in for a retirement party? It's like, yeah, you all do look pretty old.
They're very aware that this is the last movie in the series.
And they keep hinting at it throughout the whole movie with, we've got 3 months left.
Isn't this the last thing that some of the... original cast did, like,
I wouldn't be
who's
surprised.
The doctor? Bones?
Bones?
Yeah.
Is this the last thing Bones did?
Yeah, Takei, this was his last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of sad, because again, this is coming out before any of us have seen the new one, and Leonard Nimoy kept showing up in those other two, and he's dead, so...
Yeah.
And he makes a joke about it! He's like, I've been dead once. Too soon. Too soon, Nimoy. Too soon.
Well, literally, it was too soon because
he
had not died.
Because
this movie came out longer ago. This is the 25th anniversary of this one too, which I didn't realize when I chose it.
Oh, wow!
Makes it, made it a good pick. So we should get into this a little bit. Like Jeremy said, this giant moon explodes, which matters because it's too expensive for them to deal. Like
they have so much money. There's so much of their budget goes toward their military. They don't have enough money to like.
Gee, what country does that sound like?
Well, at the time, Soviet Union. But now, Reagan.
I need to correct myself. Tungsten is an element. I thought it was a mine.
Oh, snaps. Even drunk Madison's right sometimes.
Someone's going to correct me.
It should be you.
In their own head when they're listening to this. And I should at least clarify that I was wrong. So
I'm glad we took time to talk about this.
No problem. It's important to me.
So there's... So
to our one listener out there, you're welcome.
So Praxis.
Is it the tungsten that blew up Praxis?
No.
No? Okay.
Okay, and we have Sulu, who's now a captain.
Yes.
Because
yes.
He got promoted out of that crap hole.
Oh, my.
And,
I do love his my God.
I was actually going to say, I like his, when they're like, should we report this? And he goes, are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
And he looks directly at the camera.
Break that fourth wall down, Takei. I just kept waiting for him to talk about his tea. Like, he was just sitting there, everything's fine, the tea starts rattling. I thought he was saying, my God, this is Earl Grey.
Is that a Trek?
I'm just going to let that sit.
Okay.
Picard always liked his Earl Grey. I actually like the one that comes after this too, Generation. But we should talk something about this movie.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You're correct. We should.
I got something.
Go ahead,
Daniel.
Well, it's interesting how tied in Star Trek was to the Cold War. I mean, it was pretty much a giant analogy for how the U.S. was kicking the Soviet Union's butt for the last 30 years, and now this gets released after they've officially dissolved, or were about to. So there is that nice little wistful feeling throughout the movie that I thought captured the time very well.
Did the Soviets have poor table manners as well?
Yeah.
They were known for
also,
it.
And they liked their Romulan wine.
And they
Ale.
And they also really, really dig Shakespeare.
Well, and if it was 1991, it was after Bush barfed on the lap of the Japanese prime minister.
Yes.
So that might be also the reference as well.
Bar, I asked you to save me a bag, Bar. Save me a bag from the plane, Bar.
It was immediate. That video is so funny because he's like eating and then he just turns and barfs on the Japanese guy's lap.
Well, if you're going to throw up, that's who you should throw up on, I guess.
On a national state function? It was on broadcast television? Yeah.
It was C-SPAN. No one was watching. It's fine.
Oh, mercy me. And then, I think it works because of who is there. Now, we should talk about that this is Star Trek, so they were able to get people that should by no means be in this movie.
Like Chris Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall, who actually kind of stars in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping she was going to play like a third-rate character, and then I was like, oh, shit, she's like the lieutenant.
I mean, it's actually pretty good casting. She's playing a Vulcan, so she doesn't show emotion.
She doesn't show emotion at all.
So really,
how is that worse when Kirstie Alley was a Vulcan? How is that worse?
Oh.
I do kind of like... and wasn't Chris Lloyd a Klingon at one point? Like
he was.
One?
Yes. Yeah.
And he was up here.
Wait a minute. Does this mean okay? Spoilers. Maybe for the new Star Trek, there's gonna be Kristen Stewart as a Vulcan, because that woman can't show any emotion either. So, just throwing it out there, Hollywood. She's got nothing else to do.
Only if they cast Aubrey Plaza as a Klingon.
I like it.
Yeah, you do not say bad words about Aubrey Plaza.
She's delightful.
She's delightful?
I'm
love her.
I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying that would be some good casting.
I just feel like we could high five.
Delightful. there's nothing we've talked about in this movie.
So everything's fine. Let's get back on point. So we have to get the Klingons to make this peace treaty with the humans. And Kirk, we find out that... Well, it's alluded to and mentioned, I guess, that Kirk's son was killed by Klingons. So
it's alluded to. He holds up a picture of his dead son,
which looks it. Which
and he cries, and then it comes up in his trial.
I did correct myself and said then fair. Said because
former movie Wrath of Khan is when he's killed by a Klingon.
And I'm also 99% certain that.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're garbage.
I'm certain that picture of Kirk's son is actually just William Shatner at a younger age with bad hair.
It did look kind of like him.
So, in other words, just William Shatner. We don't really have to say that the hair was bad.
So many perms.
So, Spock is nice enough to volunteer Kirk to be the person that does this joyride with the Klingon commander. Or, yeah. What's he? The Chief of ambassador? Command. Yeah. Chancellor?
We are talking about David Warner, right?
Yes. Yeah, Warner's the chancellor. Plummer's the chief of staff.
Yeah. So, against his better judgment, Kirk goes along with this. And they have a dinner party, which looks as awkward as any family event you would ever attend at, like, Thanksgiving, where everyone's asking you why you're still single. And then they leave, and... Uh-oh, their ship is attacked by a bird of prey.
A cloaked bird of prey.
Anyway, somebody could take over. I'm clearly doing a terrible job.
So let's talk about, like costuming. I thought the costuming was really...
It was kind of dated at this point, but that was sort of the point. I thought it looked fine.
But, like, I like the the Klingon entourage, and they all looked very stately, and, like, he was in full regalia, and his little sticky thing. I thought it was good.
I like the bone staff. Suits. Yeah. I like the magnetic suits that they were wearing when they turned off the gravity, made them look like Cybermen.
That's what I thought of, too. I thought of Cybermen when I first saw the feet.
Looked like a little Sony robot.
And how often Kirk had his uniform open, as if he needed to, like...
Wipe his face. At this point was just... Full capacity.
Like he's just uncomfortable and needs to unbutton a bit.
Both him and Nimoy trying to lie down and stand up. That guy.
That was.
Oh my god.
It looked so unsubtle. They're like,
these belts.
And the bed over. Scene in the prison with him and Bones were like awkwardly trying to move around in bed.
Oh my god. And then Shatner trying to prop his hand up on one side. And again, DeForest Kelly was doing westerns in the 40s. Like the man at that point was in his 70s. He was an old guy trying to.
He only had 8 years to live.
But it is just, I mean. Foreshadowing, I guess. It wasn't really spoilers because we already mentioned he died, but he looked okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but he was really like Danny Glover throughout Lethal Weapon.
I'm too old for this shit.
The whole time.
But that was his character, well, right?
Yes.
That's always been Bones' character.
I do like him like trying to save the Klingon ambassador.
He's
hitting and like gack is coming out of.
Yes.
That's the worst part of this movie. Okay, go.
So we were talking about how after the Klingon ship is attacked and everyone's shot and their awful gumball blood comes out, Kirk and Bones go over to they beam over to the ship to because Bones is like they probably need some surgeon there to help, and Abby mentions, does he know anything about Klingon anatomy? No, totally irrelevant. They need a surgeon. He gets there, and they're like, what do you do? And he's like, I don't know his anatomy at all. We're like, why did you show up? What is your point here, Bones?
To be fair, he got him to say another sentence.
Yeah, he saved him, kind of.
And then the gack.
Yes. This is why CGI blood is terrible. Although it didn't look good when it wasn't CGI, because it was clearly just paintball fluid.
Well, I guess they're trying to say they're aliens, so they don't have people blood, but it never really worked off.
No.
Now, couple things don't make any sense. First,
I wasn't even going to start talking about those things.
Things that don't make sense.
Because this movie is very, well, it looks pretty.
Well, and they just roll with it. I mean, my friend said it's Star Trek. You don't ask questions.
No.
You just...
I mean, but and they definitely roll with some bullshit. I tried to think of how to put this, but why do they go there? Why do they beam over? Why don't they send a whole bunch of people? Why do they send just the two of them? It's a ship filled with people. And just
well,
two
the
people.
Point of sending the captain was this
for diplomacy?
To help, yeah. Right to aid. But it's just two people.
Why not get a whole bunch of the other ensigns also, down? We need, why, we need help.
There are thousands of people on
also,
that ship.
Also, like, also, why not beam why no off? Weapons? Why were there no weapons brought with them?
Oh, well, that's obvious.
That's obvious.
Because they, if it already looks like you've shot people, you don't want to bring guns to shoot more people.
I'm an American. That's not how we think.
Well, I mean, clearly. But at the same time, okay, the other thing that always bothered me about Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry's like an actual communist, and Star Trek is about a communist society where there's no money and it's just all based on your abilities. Mm-hmm. The whole Cold War thing is supposed to be us versus the Klingons. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. But here it really gets awkward, kind of breaks down a little bit. This is why they have to end the series here. Like, there's nothing. I do also like...
Okay. So their plot to assassinate the guys, stop the peace talks from happening.
Because
are they not going to go extinct in 50 years then?
Well, no. I think
they're just going to take over some other planet,
they were
apparently.
Just afraid of the future.
So
apparently.
If they can just take over another planet, why is this whole thing
I mean, I'm assuming that's what their thought process for this regime would be, was that they are like, we could just commandeer another planet.
I think what Matt's trying to say is that their plan was not logical.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Logic is the not the logic is the beginning of wisdom, not the end.
Well, one thing I'd like to talk about, speaking of how dated it seems to be, is they were still trying to treat some of the dynamic between the characters as new. Like, you know, Kirk and Spock are arguing, and they're supposed to be surprised that they're arguing. We've seen these people for, at this point, what, 20? Or at this point, it was like, what?
Longer. It's been
25
years, yeah.
Something like that? Been. Yeah, okay.
Well, because the show was on in the 60s, and...
Okay.
And it ended. CBS fired him.
Also, how is Uhura a linguist, doesn't know how to speak in Klingon?
That was the stupidest part of this movie.
Thank you.
What was the plan?
Oh, they made her seem like completely incompetent, and that is not who the character is.
No, Uhura is incredibly intelligent and on her A-game all the time, and then she's looking... They have like six different books out, and they're like, say this, and it's all in broken
and
Klingon.
Works.
And it works.
And then they all just laugh. And this weird, creepy,
I liked the Klingon fake laugh.
It was a... it's what I imagine Russians laugh like.
And then you were like, play along, guys. Play along. And it takes them like 9 minutes to play along.
And the guy never catches on. Like, they're not responding. They're not responding. I'm just going to keep saying the same thing over and over again and see what happens.
Why does Chekhov always look like a boy?
Why was Chekhov wearing so much makeup?
Can't he be an adult once with his own keys and friends?
Weaker.
So yeah, Chekhov's sole existence in this movie was to say words that start with V so they could pronounce them as W and W so they could pronounce them as V. That was pretty much all he did.
It's amazing he puts up with this crap.
Yeah.
Walter Koenig, man. Grow a pair.
Wasn't the whole deal that he was like the one character introduced so that they'd appeal to the youth market because he looked like a member of the Monkees? Seriously.
Is that what they were going after?
I've heard that's why they created Chekhov.
I'm not going to say that that's a fact, but it's believable.
I would assume that's what Scotty's there for, because that's a nice piece of man meat. I'm being sarcastic. Scotty looks like a giant drunk.
So I liked the whole prison, everything about
take
the prison
ones
in
to
this
know
movie.
One, but I thought,
have some respect for the dead, Madison.
Half this cast is dead now.
That's not my fault.
That they're dead?
No.
That's what I was saying. I liked everything about all the prison scenes in this one. The like the batting fighting with Kirk in the air.
Oh, and him when he hits the guy in the genitals, we realize
and he glows.
It's not his name.
Yeah. I thought that whole sequence was very fun.
When he fights the ice giant.
Yeah.
I do like that their attorney was played by Michael Dorn, who's in TNG.
Who was a terrible attorney for them. He was just letting that other guy walk all over him.
Well, no, he was calling it.
Wasn't that, I mean, like, basically one of the characters says, you know, this is just a
show trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Soviet show trial. They used to do it to
us
all
the time.
It was his grandpa.
That's the actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just felt like he was just letting Christopher Plummer's character just walk all over him in that trial. But as we said, it's a show trial.
Also, this movie is the worst... Well, it has a twist, whatever. We figure out who's doing the thing, and they had help on the Enterprise, which was the twist part. But is there a more clearly evil bad guy who you're not supposed to think is a bad guy? He has an eye patch. He's
that's
like
welded
bald.
To his face.
Yeah, it's like literally like riveted on
with a Fu Manchu. Like,
oh, that was a glorious piece.
In his defense, he's in the Klingon ship when it's attacked, so.
And he doesn't sustain any injuries.
Oh, my.
Now I'm not saying I didn't immediately say this is a Klingon inside job when that started,
but you kind of did.
I kind of did, but I, even though the twist was obvious, it was still like a.
It was still good.
I didn't think the chick was in on it.
Yeah, I had I did not see Kim Cattrall being the person, except when she put
they offered her shoes.
When she put that magnetic boot up on the locker to show it was magnetic. Then I started to kind of wonder.
That was unnecessary.
Also,
we've all seen the boot.
Also, when she shot the phaser in the kitchen, at the
like
kitchen
the,
staff.
I did kind of like it.
She didn't say, like, clear or anything like that. She just points it and just hopes everyone gets out of the way as she hits that perfectly innocent pot.
And then the contents of the pot
just
stayed
in place.
There?
That was cool. Yeah.
I didn't know why they stayed there. I feel
no, it makes no sense.
Most things in pots are liquid.
I think
by definition, then, if someone was shot with a phaser, their innards would stay, but their skin would disappear.
Yeah.
And Star Trek would be a much more gruesome series.
Maybe that's what Stun is.
Fear the walking track, and it's just like a zombie man.
CBS, we are writing pitches right now. Please call us.
Isn't there a new show about to start?
I think so.
Is it the cast from the movies or not?
No, it's I want to say it takes place right before the original series.
Why not?
Right before, right after, right around there.
I think before.
Let's get another origin story.
Oh, we don't have enough of those.
I mean, Enterprise took place before the original series.
True.
Yeah.
And that was such a great show, and with the patriotic American like fart rock song as their theme. Ooh.
What was the
Give T'Kay like let him be captain more than like 30 seconds in a movie.
Please.
He was barely in this movie. I missed
T'Kay. I did enjoy every scene he was in.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
He must have really been pissed at Shatner at the time.
Yeah.
Well,
because like Shatner really hated him.
They're just
hate
awful.
Each other
yeah,
together.
I mean, it's the Shatner gay thing. Like he hates gay people. Ugh. At this point, he was doing nothing, right? Because Trek Wars was canceled at this point. Like
what
he
is
clearly...
Trek Wars?
Tech Wars.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look at the way he looked. He just looked bloated. Like I feel like he had gout. Like he just looked like he had gout at this point.
Well, the thing was,
he was doing nothing with his life or professionally.
He was trying to look too young. Like he's at the age of his career where he should be playing older men. Because like what? 5 years after this, 10 years after this, Boston Legal starts, and he's fine in that.
Yeah.
You know, he can be a funny older
fine
guy.
Fine is a good way to describe his presence in that show.
I actually like
fine.
That show.
I like the show.
What was that movie he did where it's like these two Trek geeks that are trying to track down Shatter?
Free Enterprise.
That was it.
Free Enterprise. I also like him in that movie where they're trying to break into a Lucas's ranch, Skywalker Ranch, and he's the one who has the battle plans. Do you not remember this movie?
I heard that was terrible. Like, Fanboys?
Fanboys.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
There was two versions of it. The first version was better than the second version.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Whatever. In the end, what happens is it's this kind of actual interesting kind of espionage plot.
I thought it was too brief.
The plot part?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
They were like, this is what's happening, and we're moving on. What?
And there weren't actually that many moving pieces.
No.
Because, like, it's set up as this mystery at the beginning. The Enterprise looks like they fired some missiles, and then it doesn't look like they fired missiles. It turns out someone hacked the computer so that the inventory was wrong, but that really wasn't explained.
I would have liked...
No, what it was is... The inventory was right. They just changed the
database.
Yeah, the database to show that something was actually fired.
I would have liked them to show some more of the intrigue parts instead of like, let's show a little montage of people searching through drawers.
Yeah, that was... Plus, what about the uniforms they were all wearing?
I feel like someone could have stashed a uniform somewhere that wasn't...
Like an air duct?
I don't know. The whole, like, phaser alarm thing, it seemed a little... I feel like...
Oh, and she showed it off so much like it was like, ha-ha, this is the plot!
Yeah. See, I'm not guilty, guys.
I just felt like... And the movie was quick, as you said. Like, maybe that would have dragged it out too much.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But
there's, like, a 9 hours director's cut somewhere.
I still wish I understood why...
So Shatner individually searching all the compartments.
I still wish I could understand what exactly their motivation was, because you're kind of right. I mean,
I'm not sure what the...
Oh, it's all cockiness.
Well, yeah, like, the big thing was is they were afraid that if they lived on another planet, they would integrate and kind of lose their culture and way of life.
But they only had one... Like, and I'm not a Star Trek person, so this is maybe true. They only had one Klingon homeworld that was populated.
Cronus. Cronus 1.
Yeah.
Cronus 2.
Where's Cronus 2?
It's a spaceship. It's called the Titan. Titan AE. And,
oh.
No, that was garbage. Don't know. I could have said Babylon AD, but I didn't.
Doesn't also... Matt Quinn like that movie? I was thinking of him in that.
We did that episode. That was rough.
A movie that we all dislike?
Spawn.
Well, then Matt liked it.
Although I heard the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie is more fun than the first one. We're not going to see it, though.
Yeah, that's the whole, you know, a punch to the face is better than a kick to the balls metaphor.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
One thing I never understood about Star Trek and aliens is why are aliens not allowed to be complex except for Spock? Like, Klingons, every single one of them, they're all warriors, but surely there's more depth to them? Like, warriors?
Oh, well, you have to think, Spock's not a fool.
There was depth to the count, like the head guy.
Well,
he was trying
also,
to change
Spock
things.
Is part human.
Red was good.
Oh,
Red was
remember,
good.
Remember, Spock's mother's human, and his father is a Vulcan, so he's not even a full Vulcan, which, again, leads back to what you're saying.
You never go full Vulcan.
Never go full Vulcan. Which goes back to the fact that apparently Homo sapiens are the only members of the galaxy that are three-dimensional.
I don't think we can say that without... Yeah. Seeing the all of the shows,
yeah,
I'm sure there are other three-dimensional
just,
characters.
From what we, from the movies that I've watched, and again,
movie,
I'm just
really,
deriving from the movies.
Yeah.
Well, Khan was the wasn't human.
Yeah.
He just had a really shiny chest.
Well, I actually kind of like Red's character.
Yeah.
The Klingon guy who was like, actually, this is might be our best chance for peace, guys.
Yeah, he actually was speaking logically, so it made sense. Oh, sorry. Oh, wasn't trying to do that.
To speak logically?
To say logically. Oh, God, I'm out. I'm done.
I've already made the bad joke for the evening, Madison.
I did like the plot at the end to assassinate people for no reason. Yeah. Because, like, the first one was really interesting and kind of subtle. Make it look like this guy who's hated them all along. You know, it's the Nixon. Like, otherwise it's Nixon in China. Like, the anti-communist fighter.
Which
right?
is a
which
joke.
Which is what they say in the movie.
Right. I mean, it's like, hey, we had this idea. It's a plot. Get it? Get it?
Yeah,
get
the last
it.
Like we're just gonna murder the guy. Like
yeah.
No subtlety.
Just
in a room with ambassadors.
Yeah.
And then I also didn't understand what the ship was gonna do. What was the warbird gonna do?
It was watching Kirk's ship so he didn't do anything crazy. That was my understanding.
Okay, so the idea is you're gonna have a spaceship I guess it was gonna
with
say
capabilities
in space,
that can wait, he could just beam off the ship. They wouldn't know that.
Which is exactly what he does.
Yeah, as long as you're two sectors away, you can beam off
the
ship.
No, they were going to shoot down a ship before he got close enough to get to the planet.
But no one would know us?
Yeah.
Like, also, this whole thing is that there's a super secret negotiations going on. I get that, fine.
Except everyone knows about it.
And there's no defense.
Yeah.
It's not like the president goes to Camp David to have negotiations and they just say, don't invite the military because people will know. The Secret Service still shows up to defend the ship, man. You know, like, it's...
As I said, I felt the ending was very rushed. They just kind of toss stuff out there.
Well, maybe it's because in this utopian future, if they don't need money, they'll just expect everybody to cooperate. I don't know.
Well, I also like that Kirk shows up and doesn't prevent the assassination by... For whatever, you know, catch the guy. He literally just dumps right in time.
Yes.
Like, it's the most, like, haha, end of a movie, right?
He does jump on the president of the Federation.
Yes.
He does, like, a body shield.
Him, but...
Yeah, his stomach almost killed him, but he does jump to save Red.
We had another actor, but we had to refilm the whole movie.
The actor that plays Red is so angry on that 70s show, clearly because Shatner just, like, body slammed him to the ground and just knocked something loose in his head.
He's always been angry. Haven't you seen RoboCop?
He was so calm and level-headed in this movie, though. It was like, oh, he was almost unrecognizable. Except
it's almost like he's an actor playing different roles.
That's why you can't tell when Kim Cattrall is acting, because she's always the same.
Yeah.
She even made her creepy orgasm sounds when she was mind melding with
she did.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It just took me back to flashbacks of Sex and the City. I'm like, I've heard these noises. That's disturbing.
And Leonard Nimoy looks so uncomfortable when she does that. When he's done, he's like, I can't do that anymore. Ever again.
I'm gonna put my second hand on your face. Oh, it's getting worse. Oh god.
That was an uncomfortable scene.
It was
a very uncomfortable
scene.
And everyone on set was also kind of like, what the hell is happening? Like all the little ensigns, all the little red shirts.
That's like the first time when she kind of talks back to Kirk and a whore goes makes his face like, bitch, what'd you say?
Oh, the captain's the captain.
Yes.
And he does
Kirk's
captain-y things. And you obey the captain.
I'm going to let that one just rest.
He's the captain.
Especially when the captain says, arrest yourself. You obey him.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Okay, so before we finish this up, we need to talk about the prison scenes. So we have this show trial where Michael Dorn is unable to defend them, and they sentence him to... Like they didn't sentence them to death,
to exile, basically.
Oh yeah, we should talk a little bit about the prison scene. So after they get condemned, they weren't sentenced with immediate death. They were sentenced to this work planet where they're supposed to be mining or something for fuel, but we never see any of that. They just have prison fights out of some
the Space Dickey Mining Company. That's what I imagine this was.
Very good, and we're reminded by Uhura that this is the planet where aliens go to die or something.
It's like the alien graveyard
wasteland. Of the aliens.
Oh, yeah, graveyard.
Which you would think they would fix in a second draft of a script, but they never did. It's the worst placeholder ever.
I actually thought the place looked relatively nice.
Oh, as the sets like look good in all of these things.
It also reminded me, I don't know, I'm sure everybody else thought this too, but it reminded me of not only Hoth from Star Wars, but in the first of the new Star Trek movies... Kirk gets exiled by Spock to some creepy, sad...
Oh, yeah, or like, he finds old ice, Spock.
Yeah, ice planet. That's what I thought of when he first showed up.
Well, I do like that they are also kind of paying tribute to a lot of the older like episodes. Like, you know, rocky places.
Where was the filming for that?
Hell.
Because it was snowy and mountainous.
Iowa.
Snowy and mountains. I mean, it's probably somewhere in Alaska or Canada.
That was cool.
Yeah, they just painted the mountains.
But from there, we have McCoy, who's at this point barely able to move.
Yep.
And Kirk, who still thinks he's an action hero, picking fights with bigger aliens.
He didn't instigate anything when he was there.
That's true.
That creepy guy like just picks him up and starts screaming
at him. I
really
liked the really big guy.
Yeah, the big guy with the nose ring just starts yelling at him. Yep. And he's like, and Kirk's being all diplomatic. Yeah. He's like, I don't know what you're saying. They took away my translator.
Plot device.
And... this jacket wouldn't fit you anyway.
I liked that. I like the aliens, like the character design and all
that.
They
were actual aliens.
Yeah.
That's nice. And then he kicks one in the knee balls.
Right in the knee balls.
He's a ball
chicken. You gotta wonder what sex would be like. Like someone shoving their knee into...
And bondage would be rug burn.
Yeah. We don't have to think about that. We really don't.
Well, we can for like another 10 minutes.
Jesus, that mental image.
I think we should all weigh in on possibilities of knee sex.
I do like how the shapeshifty alien who's going to assassinate him.
Yep.
Iman.
Apparently goes down on him or something that horrifies McCoy because we see McCoy's shocked face.
Yep. I think it was just that she kissed him, like, because it's basically like, Kirk, seriously, like, how do you woo every space vagina that there is? Like, space exploration for you is having sex with every single race that's out there.
Except those knee vaginas. Those are tough to woo.
And yet he didn't recognize knee vaginas. It's a good point. But then the alien takes pleasure in turning into forms that would horrify the fact that Kirk made out with him, like children?
A child and the main female character from Planet of the Apes.
Helena Bonham Carter?
Helena Bonham Carter?
Helena, what did I say? Wow.
Helena Botham?
Botham.
Hell of a Botham Carter?
Hell of a Botham. She is a hell of a Botham.
But she's a power bottom then. But no, then she turns into like the mountain from Game of Thrones, which is great. Mm-hmm. And he's like, girl. And then, although the best, of course, is when Kirk is making out with himself. Because Kirk...
He doesn't make out with himself. He beats himself up.
But he flirts with himself. The one that's her is giving him like...
One? Well, ganders. Yeah.
Let's be honest. That was Kirk's goal the entire time.
Oh, that was the director having fun with it. Because
You've always wanted this, haven't you?
Well, and Nimoy wrote the script.
I'm sure TK walked up and was like, psst, hey, plot device.
You know it would really be funny in the script.
It would be most humorous.
Oh my.
I know my sides would be aching afterwards.
We're done.
Also, it's really easy to tell who Evil Kirk is because Evil Kirk didn't have shackles on. That was a huge giveaway.
It was. And
every TV show, every movie has taken this idea and run with it since then.
Not to get more into this, did they ever show them cutting the shackles when they escape?
Yes, when she turns into a child,
she
picks it up and puts it up to her face to like show.
For her shackles. What about their shackles?
Oh, they keep their shackles. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, how did they get disconnected from the wherever?
Maybe when they were beamed up?
No, they're still on when
they
get
running
beamed.
Away from the, I mean, what's the point of shackles if you're not shackled to anything?
No, they were working, well... I was going to say they were going to work in the mine, so how could they work with shackles on?
But what was the point of getting out of there?
It's so they can't run away. But they never actually run when they escape. No, they're just like crawling.
There's no weights on the shackles. It's just chains.
And they also didn't. They made the point of saying there's no reason to run away because you'll just freeze to death.
So the whole thing, that puts, like, why did she get out of the shackles? I get that she had to be a kid to open the thing. Why are they shackled?
It doesn't make sense.
So they remember they're slaves?
This is now the worst movie I've ever seen.
Thanks a lot, Matt. I enjoyed this until now.
I didn't want to talk about the things that didn't make sense.
Well, something that actually matters more to the plot.
Yeah.
He said that Spock put a patch on his back.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they took his uniform off, so that patch would be gone.
Maybe it could be under his wig. Maybe he slapped him on the back of the neck, like, "Hey, buddy. Good luck." I don't know.
Christopher Walken can sneak a watch out of his ass, then
anything's possible.
Yeah. When Spock gave me that reach around, he slipped a lithium patch on him. I also like the idea that Kirk is slowly getting like a buzz off of this thing. It's like a nicotine patch giving him a. I swore I'd shake these patches, I can't do it.
I loved how Bones was just like, just leave me here. I'm done. I really, in all honesty, honest to God, thought that Kirk would just say, you know what?
Fine.
Cool, bye. Like, now I can have sex with this weird ape thing without you watching. That's cool.
Also, okay. I'm going to talk. Two deaths is suspicious. One death isn't. They're in an alien mining colony with a bunch of hostile things. And
everybody hates them because they're human.
And everyone hates them anyway, and they can't just disappear.
We are just about out of time, though, guys. And this 20-minute episode after all the edits. So we should go around the table and give our final thoughts. Matt, well, we'll just start with you and go around.
Sure. As I said, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. Like, I've seen like a handful of the shows, and I've seen maybe one or two other movies. I felt like you didn't have to see any of the stuff to know what was going on, other than some of the character things and relationships. But it was quick. I thought it was fun. The plot was relatively interesting. I'd watch it. There's no reason not to. Even if you don't necessarily like Star Trek or don't like sci-fi, it's interesting enough.
It's a solid meh plus from you, man.
Yeah, it's a meh plus.
That's
I'd watch it again in 10 years.
Meh minus, meh plus.
Jeremy.
I'm the only one who actually loves this movie. It's probably because I saw it when it first came out. I think it was 9. And I had no idea what was going on, but I loved it
anyway.
So
not to interrupt you, have you seen all six of these?
Not all six of them.
You own the whole
set. Yeah, there's like...
though.
Two of them I haven't seen. Okay. I've seen all the Next Generation ones. But,
okay.
So yeah, I wouldn't call myself a Trekkie, but I like it for what it is. And this movie, it had everything. It had like political intrigue. It had jailbreaks. It had the mystery element.
Actually, you know what? I don't think I gave it enough credit. You're right.
It was actually fun. Is it a meh plus plus?
I'll tack a plus on there.
Jeremy was almost.
I'm not.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. It's a perfect end to the series. And yeah, this was my third time seeing it, and I unabashedly love it.
Thank you. Madison.
Yeah, I will piggyback off of Matt, not for the meh, but the fact that you don't have to be a Trekkie to enjoy this movie. Like, I have seen the older Star Trek movies that we have watched for this podcast. I've seen all of the newer ones. I've seen a hand, as Jeremy said to, or no, Matt said, yeah. I have seen a handful of the television series for, you know, the original and Next Generation. And when we first started this movie, we were watching it with a friend of ours that is not a Trekkie, but the closest thing I know to a Trekkie, just because I'm not. And I asked him, what do I need to know in order to like this movie or to get anything of what's going on? And he said, just know that Kirk's kid was killed by Klingons. And that's really all you need to know going into this. And they even say it for you. So it's entertaining. It kept me engaged. And I'm a phone addict. And I think I only checked my phone like twice during this movie. So that's pretty good for me. I'd watch it again. Like, I'm actually interested in watching all of them now, and knowing that Jeremy owns them means I can steal it and borrow it from him now.
Oh, the even ones are good, apparently.
Apparently. Yeah, we should just stick with the even numbers.
Goddamn whales. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, no.
Anyway. So anyway, this gets a 2 thumbs up for me.
Daniel, go ahead, man.
Thank you,
Madison. I think at this point they were realizing that they were pretty close to life with that Simpsons parody, Star Trek So Very Tired.
Which came out like 2 years after.
Yeah, yeah. It did. But I think that they finally realized, all right, we're outdated. We need to wrap this up. And they did it in a pretty good way. I mean, they at least recognized that they were always meant to be an allegory. And it's like, okay, well, the allegory that we were reacting to is over, so here's our big farewell to it. So I think it worked. And like everyone else was saying, you didn't really have to know too much going into it, which is definitely a plus. So to me, the prison scenes kind of dragged a little bit, but the rest of it was fine. So, yeah. If you want to start with a fairly decent Star Trek movie, this is a good one.
Yeah, I guess let's wrap it together. I've seen all of the movies many, many times. I like Star Trek movies a lot. The show, especially the original series, is a lot of crappy episodes, but like 20 good ones of like 60, which is still pretty good. I like this probably of the original six, right up there with Wrath of Khan. I think those are the two best by far.
Yeah,
the
same one, director, too.
Same
yeah,
director, yeah. Exactly. And I think the whales one, everyone likes the whales, but I don't think it ages well. I think the humor is not as good as it thinks. This one, they were having fun, and they were making fun of themselves, and they were making fun of the sets, and they were actually enjoying it, which is kind of what I want. The show is a revolutionary show. I mean, yes. It had the first openly gay actor on it. It had the first interracial kiss on national television on it. Mm-hmm. And it was an allegory about how we as Americans are so great. We're bringing peace across the universe. Suck it. And so we end with the kind of gray area of the Cold War ending, which mm-hmm. I kind of like. I would say you should watch this one. I like this one. I'm with Jeremy. This is great. I would say in between, you don't necessarily need to feel the urge to watch them all. The fifth one, I enjoy. No one else seems to.
I will go on record saying I love the first one. I know that's an unpopular opinion. But...
Oh, the one with the Voyager being the villain?
Viger. Yeah. And the loving shots of the Enterprise from every possible pornographic yes. angle. As it, like...
all those curves.
Oh, so curvy.
Was this miniature work at all, or...?
It was all miniature work.
Okay.
The only thing CGI great. Was that was the blood. And in fact, look it looks great.
Everything yeah. held up except that the blood. Except the gumball blood was so bad.
Yeah, we should stop the CGI blood in every movie ever. It's not hard to squib people's, and then people know to react because they feel the concussion, so they actually act properly. As opposed to people like Stallone, who keeps running even though he's been shot because he doesn't know where they're going to add the blood.
That's where the opium comes in.
I like the picture of him in an old opium den from, like, the 19th century.
That's where the Colt 45 came from, opium. Because they wouldn't feel gunshots. They had to make something that had a large enough exit wound that the people that were on opium would be able to actually recognize, oh, shit, I've been shot.
And
that's
we're done.
That's my fun factoid for the day, guys. And mic drop, I'm out.
This turned into a dollop episode very quickly.
So shotguns just didn't... take it. I'm sorry. And with that history moment from Madison, I think we're out of time. So tune in next week and every future week when we put another piece of your past on trial.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced and mixed by Ann Burns, and edited by Nick Hoffman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on dudeletter.com. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us through myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at myopiapodcast and at dudeletter, and find us on our Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes pages. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Want to give us money? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action.
I will be honest, I thought you were talking about malt liquor at first.
That's where I thought that was going.
What? Why?
And a Colt 45.
Oh.
And I was going to say, that's Star Wars, not Star Trek, because it was Lando Calrissian.